Mobile Rolling, presented by Garratt's Horse and Hound, making shopping easier with their online store. The same extensive catalogue, the same keen prices, online or over the phone. 1800 060 896 or visit horseandhound.com.au.
Passing the 400, 27 won the split. He's flying. King of Swing puts up 5 metres now on Belrage in a second. The Black Prince is going to follow through on the pegs. Outer Orlando's further out as they straighten up and he lets him go. King of Swing, he races 6 metres to Belrage and then came the Black Prince. It's King of Swing with 100 to go. Belrage nothing if not game on the outside, but King of Swing doing King of Swing things. Cruises down to the line to win it. King of Swing has beaten Belrage by two.
Yeah, we know he's a genuine star and we get to see him and Expensive Ego go head-to-head, of course, at Menangle on the weekend in the Inter Dominion final. We've got the man that's going to be in the hot seat, but Chris Barsby joins us. Good morning, Chris.
Steve, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. I'm just going to sit back and take this all in as you speak to Luke McCarthy this morning.
I thought you'd want to ask a few questions.
I might want to ask a couple. I'll see how I go. What mood Luke's in. He's with us now.
Yeah. Luke, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
King of Swing is the king of cool. So what does that make you then?
Oh, just lucky to be a part of the ride, I guess. He's just such a beautiful horse and he sort of seems to be at his absolute best right now. So, you know, we're just really enjoying it and hopefully we go good on the weekend.
Has he surprised you in any way, shape or form with the way he's come through the series so far?
Not really, Chris. He's just one of them horses you sort of know exactly where he's at. You know, he never leaves the grain. He just, you know, he never overexerts himself in anything he does. So we'd sort of just, you know, we hadn't raced for 8 weeks leading into the series, but he'd had a lot of foundation work and, you know, he's obviously very fresh going into it. So you knew every run he had would just tighten him up a little bit. So, look, we were hoping we had it right and so far so good and hopefully it rolls through to the weekend.
When you break down his 3 heat runs so far, he was by far and away the quickest on night one at Menangle. He was awesome at Bathurst. He sat parked in a huge time. Didn't go quite as quick as Expensive Ego, who set a track record. And then he set the track record at Newcastle last Sunday night. He has been at the top of his game, and he looks like he's getting better as he gets deeper into this series.
Yeah, he's done that in the past before, Chris, with his preparations. He's just built into it perfectly, like the Miracle Mile carnivals and stuff like that. So he was spits off first up, but still went great time, quite big. Yeah, that just tightened him up a little bit for Bathurst. He was huge at Bathurst, and then he came out Sunday night and was just so dominant and run, you know, smashed the track record. And he's pulled up so well. He's, you know, he's ate everything we've fed him. We've fed him pretty big this week just to keep the weight right on him, and he looks amazing.
How did you have opened him up the other night? How much was in the can there, Luke?
Oh, it's hard to say, Steve. You probably can't go much quicker than that, but I'll say, like, after the line, he actually just touched my wheel. It's quite a tight track, Newcastle, that turn past the post, and he just felt like he wanted to go another lap. So, he's exactly where he needs to be.
Monday night, the barrier draw came out. Expensive Ego drew 1, and as we know, King of Swing's got gate 11, so he's off the second row. Was there any consideration, any contemplation that you were going to opt off King of Swing and drive Expensive Ego?
No, there wasn't, Chris. I'd sort of indicated to the owners that I'd be driving him through this Inter Dominion series and I'd love to win Inter Dominion on the horse. He's been so good to us, obviously, 100 Cup, 2 Miracle Miles, and, you know, we missed last year's Inter Dominion, so I was really looking forward to this year's one. And, you know, earlier in the prep, Ego was 50-50 whether he was going to it, and he'd sort of come up so well. The owners were quite keen to have a crack, and obviously he's come out 1-3 heats, so I was always committed to King, and not that I'm saying I think he's a better driver, but I'd always sort of committed to him.
Luke, can you tell me about the David Moran relationship?
So me and Dave are quite good friends, and of course we've got Lachlan Vrat here at the moment doing all his rehab and working him back up for Sal, and he's doing stud duties as well, and yeah, we've been friends for a long time. He drove Ego in the Miracle Mile, drove him really well. He got on with the horse, so he was always tentatively booked for the drive a fair way out.
So with Expensive Ego, the fact that he's gone unbeaten, just like King of Swing, can he be any better going into Saturday night than where he is right now?
Not really. He's you know, what he's done has been super. Like, his Newcastle run was huge. I had to burn really hard to get around him early, and like you said, smashed the track record of Babbitt. He's just got stronger. He's one of them horses you can't hurt his feelings. You know, he can have a completely hard run, three wide of the breeze, fast times, and just bounces out of it. So look, he's spot on as well, and I'm sure he's going to go really good.
There's some pressure on David Moran with the drive because he's got gate one, so all of a sudden he's now the favourite over King of Swing, and he's not known for his gate speed. So as big as an honour it is to drive Expensive Ego, that brings pressure as well.
Yeah, it does, but look, he's a very good big race driver. Obviously, all the experience of Lachlan Murat, and you've seen Dave driving a lot of Tonkin's really good horses, Ladies in Red and that, and he makes the right moves, rarely makes a mistake, and you know, he's just going to have to stride out the gate as quick as he can. I never stride him out much because he's always so strong late, and one Tuesday meeting, there might have been a heat of the APG, I did stride him out pretty strong with him out 25-7, and I was actually holding crunch time to the post, and then I let him go and followed him. We went 48.5, so there's more gate speed there than what you sort of normally see. So I expect him to stride out pretty strong. I've still got Donkel Benjamin crossing him, but there's not really a death seat horse in the race that'll want to be there anyway, so he's probably going to get the opportunity to get straight away off the peaks and re-challenge for the front.
Okay, and then you come around, Luke, at what part of the race?
Well, I'll just drive to tempo. You know, I'm obviously going to have to put King in the race at some stage, and I'll just do it when I feel the time's right.
The final on Saturday night's 3,009 metres, so it's a marathon trip. If there's any sort of chink in the armour with Expensive Ego, is it this distance range? He's gone at 2,400 metres, but anything beyond 2,400 metres, no go. He got beaten a fair way in the Black Safari Cup here earlier in the year. So is there a little doubt or a chink in the armour at the distance?
Well, I guess we don't really know. And none of these horses have been at that distance. All the races are obviously 2,700 or shorter. So, look, they're nearly 3,000 metres, I guess. But I don't think so. I think he'd run 4,000 metres if you asked him to. He's so strong. Just the lead time will be the difference between him and King. If he has to gas up early, and just that might be enough to take the sting out of him for King to go over the top of him late.
So he can. Do you think King of Swing can sit outside him, Luke, do you, and beat Expensive Ego?
I don't know. It'll just depend on how much they do early. Like, if he gets out, gets a soft lead, you know, they're just sitting on 29 quarters. Like, he's just so hard to pass. But if they burn up for a good 600 and Donkel Benjamin, their camp have sort of indicated they're holding the front, which I highly doubt over 3,000 metres. But, you know, maybe the more speed on early, the more it makes it for King. But if it's easy for them, all of a sudden their go is hard to get past.
What about the fact that you guys have got four horses qualified for this final? You only went into the series with four. That's a huge achievement in its own right, and probably one that hasn't been given the credit that it probably deserves this weekend.
Well, it's a huge thrill that they're all lovely horses, Chris, and you hope that they're all sort of spot on from the series and do get through and qualify, and they all did. So, look, we've had a great round of heats and all that sort of thing, but we're not getting too carried away, and, you know, the job's not done yet. It doesn't matter how many heats you win if you don't win the final. So, look, we'll just concentrate on the weekend and, you know, probably think about it later on.
Luke, just with the King of Swing, I'm just looking at his overall lifetime record, 77 starts at this stage for 40 wins, amazing. 11 seconds and 7 thirds. And Chris and I spoke about his Queensland preparation during the winter. It didn't really go to plan, but his reputation actually was enhanced through a couple of defeats, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a disaster just in a couple of races, but he still got beat ahead or nose in the Sunshine Sprint and got knocked over in the Blacks fight and still come from, you know, getting knocked over to finish so close to him. So, look, yeah, he went amazing. And I think what that showed to everyone was he's versatile. Like, he's brewing in front, but he come from off the pace. The Sunshine Sprint, he was still stone last at the 600 and just got beat. You know, he sat parked at Bathurst in 51. And went super. So, he, you know, you can drive him however you need to.
Tell me this. Has I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this question, but I want you to just reaffirm it for me. Has he ever been beaten once he's led at Menangle, King of Swing?
Once. When we first got Balraj, I got home in 25-4, and he beat him a nose or a head. And King was first up from a break, and Balraj was pretty wound up. And Balraj sort of had a few issues later on in the preparation, but at that time he was really good, and he just got in for speed that first time.
Okay. Now, 7 of the 9 heats have been won by your stable, and as we've just outlined, the job's not done yet, so you can win as many heats as you like, but the one you want is Saturday night. What about the fact that you've thrown a bone to Johnny? He's picked up the drive of Spirit of St. Louis. Neither you or your dad have won an Inter-Dominion Grand Final. Only Toddy's won an Inter-Dominion Grand Final. Who gets the spoils here? Is Johnny any chance of, proving to be an upset winner on Saturday night with Spirit of St. Louis?
Well, Dad was really looking forward to driving this horse. He drove him at his previous few runs. So drove him in the Lensuth Mile as a run of the race. Came from well back in the field and just got beat. So he gets on good with him. He really likes him. And he's looking forward to it. Look, I think Ego and King are just that next level up. And Lewis is only 4. He sort of stepped into this level now and he's handled it really well. So you'd hope for the next 3 or 4 seasons he can race at this level. He has to get everything go his way with the right trip. But if he gets the right trip, I think he can be 3rd. But I do think the other 2 are just a little bit better than him.
Okay, and just going back to the heat night at Bathurst, you swept them all 3 heats. How big a thrill was that for not only yourself and Belinda, but also for your dad as well? Because he's a proud Bathurst person.
Oh, it was really good. The horses went great, and obviously I grew up in Bathurst, lived there till I was 15, so it's always nice to go back there, and we don't race there much, just the Shirley Turnbull and Gold Crown usually. They're the only times we go there, but to go back to that track, and I really like the track. They build it well, good 1,000 metres, good camber, so yeah, it was nice to essentially go to your home track and pick up those wins.
Was Johnny there that night?
Yep.
Okay, cool. No, just wanted to check. And the boys are coming back. Are they going to be back in time for Christmas, or is it going to be just into the new year, Toddy and Andy? Are they coming back from the States?
Yeah, the boys are coming home. They'll get here a bit before Christmas and stay for a few weeks. And they're really looking forward to it. Get out of the cold weather in New Jersey for a month, and then they'll have to sort of get back up there in late January. All the sort of few of the better races start rolling on the levee at Yonkers and all that, but no, they've had a great season and couldn't be prouder of them.
Well, I know you guys pretty well, all 3 boys. I'm tipping if you come away with an Inter-Dominion Grand Final here on Saturday night, there's probably not going to be too much chit-chat about the horse talk over that Christmas lunch, and I'm pretty much tipping you'll be talking everything but horses on Christmas Day.
Yeah, we'll probably just be asking Toddy about his current girlfriends, I suppose, wouldn't you, Chris?
Is he doing all right in that department?
He's a good-looking young fella. He's going good.
Yeah. Can I ask, what's going to happen with these stars, Luke, after this race, King of Swing and Expensive Ego? When do we see them again?
Look, they'll have an easy couple of weeks. Just in the water walker and the paddock and stuff like that. And then presumably we would just get them ready for the Victorian Hunter Cup and then that carnival roll into the Miracle Mile. And then after that, they have another spell. So, yeah, the next sort of big race is on the agenda.
And what about Lachlan Varad? Is he a chance of racing early part of the new year or not?
Yeah, well, that's the plan. He's here now. He's had a good 10 weeks. He's swimming, he's jogging, he's 100% sound. He's actually due to start fast work pretty much next week or week after. He can sort of start doing a bit of light work, so that'll sort of roll you toward the end of December. It might be a touch quick for the Vic Cup, Hunter Cup, but, Dave Marine will obviously take him back. Start season finishes in January, so he'll do all the sort of final work with him to get into where he needs to be if he wants to sort of push him along a bit and have him ready for them couple of big races. He could be every chance of being there.
I'm just thinking that's amazing, and I'm sure Chris Barsby's just salivating, and any harness enthusiast, that you've got the 3 of the best stars of harness racing in Australasia all next to each other in the boxes there.
Yeah, and they're all stallions. They're beautiful stallions with it, and no, it's just a pleasure to be able to work around really good horses like that.
And just with King of Swing, does he go right through until the end of next year, or, you know, are you looking at next stud season, say around September? Does it sort of start to wind down for King of Swing, or do you just take it race by race and he'll determine when and how long he keeps going?
Yeah, well, the owners had sort of touched on that before, Chris. You know, they're in a huge hurry to get him to stud, but then he's probably going to make so much money when he does go. So, look, at this stage, his plan is to roll through to the nearest mile. Perhaps if he's going to go to stud, which would be September, you'd obviously set him for the Winter Carnival again, and that would be his last hurrah. So at this stage, we'll go Miracle Mile and then set him for Brisbane and probably have to decide sort of through the winter roughly, you know, if he's going to go or not.
All right. Excellent stuff. Luke, really appreciate the time. A job well done to you, Belinda, all of the team. Four runners qualified, four runners only going into that series, so it's a huge achievement. Seven of the nine heats have been won by you guys, and you've got the top two in the market. And looking at history, punters have got it right. Normally, in the four finals so far, three of the four favourites have won when the finals have been staged in Sydney. So here's hoping that you guys have got it right on Saturday night. You can walk away with the big one.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chris. It's hopefully that horse has been spot on, so hopefully we can have a bit of luck and go well.
It's a real boutique Excellent operation, stuff. Isn't it? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, cool hand Luke McCarthy, Chris.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, Steve. Just with Expensive Ego, if you're going to look for a chink in his armour, the only time he's gone beyond 2,400 metres, he was unplaced, and that was up here earlier in the year in the Blacks of Fake. And when you look at the history, four finals have been run at Menangle, 2010 Blacks of Fake. Surprisingly, he wasn't the favourite that day. It was the Kiwi Monkey King who started favourite. He ran second behind Blacks of Fake. I'm the Mighty Quinn, 2013, favourite. Bowtie, favourite, 2014, at $4.90 on the toe. And then he was the odds-on favourite the following year when he went back-to-back in 2015. So punters get it right. They like it when they have the finals at Menangle. And as it stands, Expensive Ego favourite at $2 over King of Swing, who's currently at $2.40.
Mm. If he has to work, Chris, I'm just going to ask you, if David has to work on Expensive Ego and really burn early to maybe hold up from the inside, maybe find the top, Luke zips around, and I've put this question to you a few times. Does he, you know, I suppose it's a tough decision what he does there. You know, if the horse has had a bit of an early burn, does he let King of Swing roll on and then sit on its back and then try and come off its back, sprint him down? Anyway, fascinating, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I'm sure, you know, we keep talking about these tactics. Nine times out of ten, all the tactics that are spoken about pre-race go straight out the window. So who knows what's going to happen there. So the Inter-Dominion Trotters Final is also a very intriguing race as well.
And you're going to talk about a little horse with a big heart, Chris. Matt Craven's with us.
Yep. Matty, good morning.
How are you, guys?
Really well. Here we are singing the praise of the McCarthys. They've had four runners going into this pacing final. They've all qualified for the final. You had two trotters that you brought up for this series. They've both qualified and they're both right in the mix. So are you on good terms with yourself going into the big final on Saturday night?
Oh, look, we're really happy with where we sit, and we know we have to improve a little bit to be winning the final, but both horses seem to be, you know, heading in the right direction. They've come through their heats really well, and we're quite pleased with how we sit going into Saturday night. And you talk about the McCarthy operation, it's just amazing to see. And, you know, we're all got to aspire to get to that level. It's just an amazing feat that they've, you know, the way they've gone through the series, especially with those paces. It's great to see. And, yeah, if we can ever get to that level, that'd be fantastic.
Why do you have to improve? Where do you have to improve to come away with this Inter-Dominion Trotting Grand Final on Saturday night?
Just in terms of how the horses have raced through the heat. We're lucky enough to get away with the heat at Bathurst with a lot of muscle. He raced quite well. But, you know, the runs that he had, you know, on each night, if Pink Galahs had those runs, you know, I think she possibly could have won a heat, but you know, as it sort of sits, when she's had her chance to win, you know, she's just hasn't been quite good enough to either hold him off or pick him up. And, you know, she hasn't had the run, you know, that's probably ideal for her. But in saying that, she's still had her chances to win and hasn't been able to. And if you just sort of look on face value, Murray Law and the Penny Drops have, you know, really showed how good they are. And, you know, we're going to have to improve those couple of lengths to turn the tables on those horses, I think.
How are they right now? It's Wednesday morning, finals on Saturday night. Physically, mentally, where do you think they're at, both horses, Pink Galahs and Lot of Muscle?
Yeah, it's interesting. Pink especially seems to really enjoy racing and work. And we came into the series a little bit underdone after, you know, that Queensland campaign with a few runs in Melbourne leading into the series. And each run, she looks to me to have tightened up just that fraction, and her work yesterday sort of hopefully indicated that she was on the right track. And, you know, if I can just have her that little bit sharper for the final, you know, hopefully just got to, you know, somehow find that length and a half or two lengths to, you know, turn the tables and see if we can have her winning. And a lot of muscle, he's got through the series terrific. You know, when he come home from Newcastle in the next couple of days, he sort of really walked us out to the paddock each day, and he's come through his run terrific. So, you know, we know he has to improve to win the final, and he needs that lovely trip following the speed, but they're both in good order. And, you know, hopefully the draws are what they are, but I think it still gives them a chance if they're good enough.
Right now with Tab, Pink Galahs and the Penny Drops are equal favourites at $4.60, just over Majestic Man at $4.80. In your opinion, does Pink Galahs deserve to be favourite for the final on Saturday night?
Oh, well, I wouldn't swap her for the world, but we're very biased and, you know, we believe in her. But if you went on the form of the heat, you know, you'd have to really say that Murray Law and Majestic Man are probably the two that are going to really get the distance and have been really strong in their heat. So I'm not sure whether she deserves to be favourite, but, you know, she does have a lot of people who follow her and believe in her. The key will be as to whether I can get her a much favourable trip, as to, you know, I haven't been able to do that in the heat. So that'll be a big part of, you know, how she goes on Saturday night.
Well, that's where I wanted to go, because there's no doubt she can get the trip, but that all depends on you. You've got to give her that trip.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I don't think we can afford to be doing too much work over 3,000 metres, but in saying that, she has that tactical speed to put herself in the spot. But we've seen, you know, in the past, when she's just been able to follow and be produced at that last bit, she's very lethal. And she's going to need that on Saturday night. She's going to need a good, strong, even tempo. And hopefully, you know, we're just getting out late and the gaps aren't going quick enough. And it's the same for Lot of Muscle. You know, he's been terrific all through the season, through the series. And he's going to need a similar sort of trip, where if he can follow the fence and he's getting out late, he's been hitting the line in every one of his heats. And, you know, I think he'll really appreciate that long Menangle straight. You know, the first heat he presented to be the winner, and he just ran out of tickets. He was a lot better at Bathurst, and he was really good late at Newcastle. So I think, you know, he's going to be, you know, really appreciating getting back to Menangle on Saturday night as well.
The final's over the long trip, just like the Pacers, 3,009 metres. There's going to be some tired horses here in the home straight, isn't there?
Oh, 100% there will be. And, you know, any horse that has to do too much, you know, is going to find it tough. But in saying that, if you're way back in the field, it's a long way to come around them as well. And, you know, it's 6-1, half a dozen the other. You don't want to be doing too much to get four, but you don't want to be having to do much to get around them as well. So, you know, if you get your chance to go, get forward and get in position, you've got to take it, and hopefully you get there without doing too much.
You've driven enough now at Menangle. You've sort of got to find that sort of marker at the track, and I'm sure you're very mindful of that with Pink Galahs. It's very similar to the Melbourne Cup at Flemington, the clock tower. That's the synonymous marker there that the jockeys keep waiting for. Have you found that marker yet at Menangle with Pink Galahs?
Not so much. Not so much, Chris. Sometimes, you know, in the past, I found myself waiting too much, and then other times going too early. And a lot of the time, it's having your horse spot on, and if you have it right and it's got the right trip, they generally run out their races good. So it'll be just having them as best we possibly can for Saturday night. And when she goes as hard as she can, and you know, she never leaves anything in the locker, and that's what we love about her so much.
Yeah, absolutely. She is a crowd favourite. She's a fan favourite. She is the favourite for the Inter-Dominion Trotting Grand Final. I'm tipping, and I don't say this lightly, and I'm not trying to make fun of the situation or a mockery of the situation, but you wear your heart on the sleeve when you're with your horses, whether it's Pinkalars, Lot of Muscle, or any horse that's coming out under the banner of M. Craven as a trainer or a driver. You'll be emotional if she just charges on by the opposition there on Saturday night in many, many ways.
Oh, look, I'm sure I will. I get emotional just talking about her sometimes because she's just been so special to us. And I guess it's like, you know, when you put so much time and effort, but when you have an animal that just wants to please you all the time and you know, gives their very best for you, you can't help but be that way. And these are the things that you look forward to, you dream and aspire to be a part of. And, you know, we continue to hopefully raise the bar. And this is, you know, where we want to be in harness racing. And, it's something that I guess you build up. You spend a lot of time setting these horses for these sort of races. There's a lot of planning. You get a lot of help from a lot of people along the way. And it's a big team effort. And there's a lot of people that go unrecognised. And sometimes, you know, these races, to get in these races can be as much for everyone that supports the stable and people around you. They get a big kick out of just being in these races. And if you're ever lucky enough to win one, it does mean a hell of a lot to everyone involved. And I think that's why, you know, sometimes I get very emotional. But it's, you know, I think those horses that really, you know, just give their absolute all for you and do it just because they love racing and that. It's just a completely different feeling than just your everyday race, that's for sure.
If Pinkalars or Lot of Muscle can't win on Saturday night, in one simple answer, who is the horse that you fear most? Is it Majestic Man, the Kiwi? Is it Maori Law? Is it the Penny Drops?
Oh, look, Maori Law, I think he's so tough to get past. And I think he's just got the advantage of the draw, you know, on face value. But, you know, this series is really been quite open, and there's no standout horse. Every horse, you know, in the final, you could make a case for him if everything went their way. And it just seems a very even batch, and the draw has made it, you know, a very open race. And the first half mile is going to be really telling as to the result, I think. And it's really opened it up as to how the race might play out. And, you know, it's going to be a great spectacle on Saturday night, I think.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You've got a very strong hand with Pinkalars and Lot of Muscle. Both are very capable and a huge thrill as well for you to be driving Pinkalars and your partner to come up and partner Lot of Muscle, Sophia, as well. So that's a huge huge thrill for everyone involved with Team Craven.
No, 100%. And even, you know, Sophia, she's put a hell of a lot of time into both these horses and Lot of Muscle in particular, and getting his confidence back. You know, she's put a hell of a lot of work in before the series at home and at the races just to get him in the right frame of mind and to want to do it again. And he will really appreciate her going on over the long journey on Saturday night. And, you know, they've got a really good understanding of each other, and, you know, there's been a lot of work behind the scenes. And for both of us, we're really excited and looking forward to Saturday night. And it's just, you know, for everyone involved, the owners, a lot of Muscle in particular, you know, there's a lot of small shareholders and they're just super excited, and a lot of them are making the trip north. So we're really pleased just to be there, and whatever happens will be, and hopefully we'll just go there and do our best, and hopefully our best is good enough.
Well, I'm sure it will be. Matty, really appreciate the time. Job well done throughout the series, qualifying. You're two trotters, and they're both in it up to their eyeballs. There's no doubt about it. Pinkalars, the fan favourite, and Lot of Muscle, who's starting to become the fan favourite as well, because he is a real try, this former Kiwi. So really appreciate the time. Best of luck on Saturday night.
No, thanks very much for having us, and all the best.
Yeah, Matt Craven joining us. Chris, I'm just looking at the latest tab market. Majestic, very open, as was mentioned there, but Majestic Man is 480, Tough Monarchs 9, Maori Law 550, Pink Galahs 460, and 460 the penny drops. And, of course, Lot of Muscle is $14 the win and $3.80 the place. Darren Clayton's with us now, Chris.
Well, we've got to find out where Darren is. Is he still in New
He's still
South
in Bathurst.
Wales, or is he? He is?
He worked
he
in the pits there.
Across the border?
He was in the pits putting tyres on last weekend.
Darren, good morning.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether it was on someone
I've been
else's
in the pits,
car.
Don't worry. I'm there now.
I'm putting my own wheels back on, don't worry.
So you're still south of the border?
Still south. I'll be heading back on Sunday, I think. 1 a.m. Monday, the border opens without restrictions. So just in time to go to the Inter-Dominion on Saturday night and head back up the highway.
Well, I was going to say, now that you're down there until Sunday morning, you may as well go to the Inter-Dominion Grand Finals.
Yeah, well, it's going to tie in perfectly. So haven't been to an Inter-Dominion final for a long, long time. So really looking forward to it. I think the last final I was at was Blackies Inter-Dominion at Moonee Valley, 2008.
What, you weren't at the Gold Coast 2009?
No, I hadn't moved to, well, I was in Queensland at that point in time, but yeah, a good mate of mine chose a great weekend to get married.
Truth. So who wins the finals for you, the Trotters and the Pacers?
I think the Pacers is, it's hard to go past King of Swing. You've got to give so much respect to Luke McCarthy. The fact that he's driven all three of his horses, basically, outside of Outer Orlando in all of the heat, and despite coming up with gate 11, he sticks with King of Swing. I think you've got to give plenty of credence to that. He's just priming him right at the right time. He's just been absolutely super right through the series. So I think it's King of Swing for the Pacers. The Trotters is a little bit more open. Yeah, I'd like to say Pink Galahs. I think more just for the fact, you know, the little bit of a story around her. We saw her up in Brisbane during the Winter Carnival. I think that would be a great story. And certainly the story around the colours, the green and the yellow spots dating back to that wonderful breed that the Healy family have produced over a long period of time. So I think, Pink Galahs for mine in the Trotters.
Okay, so right now with Tab, if we had King of Swing into Pink Galahs, 240 into 460, you can get $11.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good for what we've seen throughout the series. The 3009, there's a bit being said about that, but I don't think they're going to set any records early. It'll just be about finding position, and those stronger horses probably get up near the pointy end and turn it into a dogfight. Mm. So, and in that situation, I think King of Swing's the one you want to be on in the paces, that's for sure.
Do you think Expensive Ego will get crossed at the start?
I didn't think he would, but there's a lot of people saying he's no chance of leading. So I'm not sure where to put that in, Steve. I thought he was a possible chance of burrowing through and holding them out. But there's plenty of analysts out there who say he's no chance of holding.
Luke sort of think he might get crossed, Chris, and then he'll just go around and find the top.
I'll tell you what, Steve, just thinking back to when we had Luke on just moments ago, and I've spoken to him many, many times with interviews. I reckon that's the most candid he's ever been before a big race, because there's just a lot of information that he was able to divulge that probably in the past, not that he was hiding it, but he just wouldn't mention it if it wasn't spoken about. But he went above and beyond with that interview.
So what are you talking earlier about, the speed, the gate speed that this horse can, if lit up at the start, Expensive Ego, you mean?
Yeah. Just the way the race shapes and how they plan on attacking and how he plans on attacking it, not only with his own drive, King of Swing, but also with Expensive Ego. There was a lot of information. There were some real nuggets of gold there if you want to go back and listen to it and, really pull it apart, because I don't think he's ever been that candid, certainly with me, and I've done a lot of interviews with Luke over a long period of time now before a big race.
I'll ask you this, Chris, just thinking with no emergencies and the size of the track, what are your thoughts on the fact that it could turn into two rows of six?
I'm sort of bewildered why they're going with the configuration that they're going with. when we see Menangle all the time with that big track and the big front line, why they're going. So as it stands, and it's important for punters, it's basically a 6-6 configuration on Saturday night.
Yeah, with no emergencies, that's how it pans out. And I've bewildered is probably a little bit more polite than I would have used, but I can't understand it at all. And I think emergencies in harness racing, I think there's something that really needs to be seriously looked at in how we use them in draws and where they position, because it can change so much. And maybe not so much this race in terms of what will come into the field, but, you know, speed runners taken out and there's so much emphasis on barrier draw and where a horse positions, I think it's something that really needs to be looked at.
It's got to affect the betting, hasn't it? Pre-post betting is a key. So which horse does King of Swing follow out then?
The 3 horse, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be. If that's, yeah. Again, so, and it's all if up until Saturday morning.
Has it got gate speed? Yeah.
Well, I don't think it would have any effect on the others in if it were to come out. But, you know, it's even like the fact that Menangle can hold 10 off the front in a normal race. And we see a Miracle Mile where they, you know, they're right out wide. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. But maybe that's for another day.
Who makes these decisions?
Yeah. The governing bodies.
Mm. Who's on them?
Well, that I can't tell. So just as it stands, so King of Swing will follow out Triple Eight if Mac Dan and the Black Prince, the two emergencies, don't secure starts.
Which is likely.
Yeah.
So it's got no speed, Chris, you're saying. Gate speed off the arm.
Yeah, we'll talk more about this on Friday morning, but our task at hand this morning, Darren, is to find a winner for tonight at Reckitt. We've got 10 races, 5:13 local time, the action gets underway. What is your best bet?
I thought we could get the money in at race 3 with horse number 2, One Hell of a Party. He's been going pretty good order lately for Norm Copeland up there at Redcliffe. He's got a couple of wins. He's got a couple of placings. He was wide last time out and was strong in the closing stages. He gets into gate 2. I think he gets the opportunity. He got good gate speed and he can get forward and go all the way, I thought. Race 3, number 2, One Hell of a Party.
Okay, currently 260 with Tab. You're happy with that?
Yeah, I think that's around about the price, and I don't think there's anything sort of outside of him that gives him any real pressure in the early stages, which is a great benefit for him.
All right. A quaddie. Have you marked a quaddie tonight?
Yeah, the first leg. I'm not sure what I've missed here. I've left out the current favourite, That'll Do. I know he's had 3 runs back from a long layoff, but I'm prepared to leave him out again. I thought Reduced to Ashes, number 5, will be hard to beat. Throwing in number 6, Dig Deep. She's had her first win, slowly making some improvement. And number 9, Old English, hasn't had a Queensland win yet, but is not far away. So going numbers 5, 6 and 9 and just leaving out that favourite might just give us a little bit extra value.
Okay, race 6, how do we play it?
Race 6, I thought another 3 horses can win this race. Number 3, Manda Lisa, gets an opportunity to find the front, and from the front, he'd be hard to beat. If he can cross Duke, number 1, Duke, he would then get the perfect trip in behind, so he's got to be considered. And Black Jewel, likely to be 3 back defence under that scenario. She was a good winner recently. And she'll get the nice fence trail again. So we'll go numbers 1, 3, and 7 in the second leg. That takes us up to race 7, the third leg of mark number 5. Talk to the Max on top. Good winner last time out. Went straight to the front. Not sure if she gets to the front this time, but can certainly get forward and even sit outside the leader and probably still be hard to beat. Number 7, Right Time. Pretty good record at Redcliffe. She should be thereabouts. Just a little bit tricky on the gate where they end up there with number 7, Right Time, but does have 4 wins in 7 starts at Redcliffe. And number 2, D'Artesian, he's probably the early leader. So we'll go numbers 2, 5, and 7. And in the last leg, number 8, I'll be pretty happy to go 1 out here with number 1, Right About Chelsea. I thought she gets an opportunity here to either lead or tuck in behind if Wild About Town presses on for the front. And from there, she should be hard to beat either in front or in behind. Good run at Marburg a couple of runs ago. So bringing it home with number 1, Right About Chelsea.
Okay, so repeating the numbers for the quaddy tonight at Reckler. Races 5, 6, 7 and 8. First leg 5, 6 and 9. Second leg 1, 3 and 7. Third leg 2, 5 and 7. One only in that final leg. $27 for 100%. And Darren's best bet is race 3, number 2, One Hell of a Party, currently assessed at $260 with tab. So that's how we play Reckler tonight. Build our bank for Saturday night.
Yeah, looking forward to that, and another strong 10 races there on Saturday.
I'll ask you both this question before we leave it back to Inter-Dominion Paces. Which horse is going to be in front 1,000 metres from home? Chris?
King of Swing.
Darren?
King of Swing.
Well, that makes him a $1.80 chance, doesn't it?
Probably even shorter.
One way of looking at it.
So what you guys are thinking, that he rolls around and finds the top?
Yeah, yep. That's how I see it. I can't. And he's just too strong, too big, too strong.
Interesting. Okay.
An angle. I've got some of the news for you too, Steve, as well. Not about the Inter-Dominion, but just some other big-name horses as well. One in particular.
New Zealand horse?
So, Darren, we'll talk on Friday morning.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
He wants to hear the news. Yeah. So do I. Is it New Zealand?
He can hang on to the news.
Oh, you're hanging on to it?
No, I'm going to tell you now, but he can hang on to the line and still listen if he wants, Darren. But I'm going to tell you right now, the horse in question, Chicago Bull.
Retired?
No. He could be back racing next Friday night.
Okay.
Friday week. There was a piece of work that he was going to undertake this morning, which would determine whether or not he's going to go straight back to the races on Friday week. This Friday night, Magnificent Storm, that's one of your favourite horses in harness racing. He's back at the races. He's racing in the big race there on Friday night. He's had the two trials back. The most recent was on the weekend, which he won at Byford. But Chicago Bull could be back at the races Friday week. Furthermore, with some big news, Gary Hall Jr., and I'm going to talk about this with Matty Young tomorrow, so make sure you're listening to this tomorrow morning. He's talking about USA, Gary Hall Jr.
Okay.
So we'll talk more about this with Matty Young, because I know he was on Matty Young's show yesterday and he was talking about the feasibility and possibility of upping and leaving Perth, Australian racing, and having a crack in the United States. So we'll talk more about that with Matty Young tomorrow. Just quickly, Majorca, who's absolutely flying here, sold. She'll be going to America. Grant Dixon had this mare, 10 starts, 8 wins, beaten a nose, and I mean a nose, in a Group 2 feature. So her future is now going to lie in North America. Akuta and Five Wise Men, two of the brightest prospects in New Zealand harness racing. Five Wise Men, the trotter, he's won 9 from 11. Akuta, who was just brilliant last time out. They were meant to trial yesterday, but they were washed out over there in the Canterbury area, so they'll probably go to the trials or workouts either this weekend or next week again. Vacation Hill, who was unplaced behind Sunday Sun in that record time in the Dominion last time out, is set to join the stables of Andy and Kate Gath, so that's just another powerhouse trotter that they're going to have in their care, getting set for them some big races early next year. Great Southern Stars, an obvious target for Vacation Hill. And Mr. Ray, who was beaten last time out, this is the star trotter down in the star pacer, I should say, two-year-old down in the Riverina. It was expected that he would target the Vic Bred, but there's reports growing that he won't be going down to Victoria for a shot at that Vic Bred feature. So we'll just watch with interest there. Copy that. Is expected to fly to Melbourne on around about the 17th, I think it is. So he was brilliant with his return to racing after winning the New Zealand Cup last Friday night at Alexandra Park, Auckland. So it's very likely his next start is going to be in Australia, in Victoria, probably the Cranbourne Cup there. South Coast Arden, who was placed behind, copy that, in the New Zealand Cup, he's definitely getting set for the Miracle Mile. So he'll be back at the workouts probably in the next week or two. They're looking at the Cambridge feature there, the mile feature, and then he'll head to Sydney for a shot at the Miracle Mile. So that's very exciting because he looks like he is going to be built for that big track at Menangle. And speaking of New Zealand, the North Island, what about this for a race on Friday night? Better Twist, Stylish Memphis, Belle of Montana, Pelosi, Life's a Beach, they're all clashing in a mare's feature there. And Bolt for Brilliance is also back in action there for Tony Herlihy, and he will reunite as the race day driver this Friday night. So things are getting pretty exciting all around the country, but we'll have plenty more news tomorrow, Steve, and Mobile Rolling.
Yeah, you mentioned if he does go to America. Chris, where would you describe, of course, many in the thoroughbred world believe that Hong Kong is the mecca of world racing in regards to attracting the best riders and the the best trainers. Where would you describe in harness racing as the mecca?
New Jersey. So okay. You've got to be at the Meadowlands. You've got to be competing at the Meadowlands first and foremost, and then you've got those other tracks as well, Yonkers. Then you've got other places like Pocono Downs, Dover Downs. So, yeah, that would be the mecca, absolutely. So if you're driving and driving well in the big races at the Meadowlands, that's as good as it gets.
Okay, who's the gun driver?
The McCarthy boys, and they've created history. Both Andy and Todd, it's the first time ever, that two brothers have both banked more than $7 million in stakes in a single season. And when you consider some of the big-name drivers over there that have siblings, it's never been achieved before. Tim Tietrich and his brother Trace, they've never done it. But Todd and Andy have both cracked $7 million in a single season. So they've created history. And they're due back, as Luke outlined, just
over
Christmas. So
who's the one that sits right back in the bike, Chris? Or they both Toddy. Do? Todd does.
Yeah, Toddy's got more of a lean than what Andy does.
It's great watching that, isn't it? The different styles.
Well, Toddy's driving the best horse in the world probably right now, Allywag Hanover. He's a four-year-old, so he's an open-class horse up there, and he's probably the main one right now. You would love to see Allywag Hanover and King of Swing go head-to-head, put it that way.
Okay, but that's key information. Both great minds in harness racing think that King of Swing will find the top at some stage of that race, maybe early on Saturday night, and that makes it the race over, doesn't it? If that's right.
Well, that's our opinion. Whether or not it's right is another thing, and that's the great thing about racing. It's all about opinion.
It is. And $2.40 King of Swing, $2 expensive ego. Can't wait for it.
Everyone's got one, as we know.
Like backsides, opinion. Chris.
Yep. Correct.
Thank you, Chris Barsby, Mobile Rolling.